I say to you, watch. Be ready. Look out. He's coming. Today is really the beginning of a new church year. And last Sunday was the end of a church year. But the lessons as you hear today are very similar to what you might have heard at the end of the church year, as it's pointing to the second coming of Christ. And you might say, well, I thought we're here to prepare for Christmas. And we are here to prepare for Christmas. But I'm going to ask you this question. When is the end of something really the beginning of something? And keep that in mind. When is the end of something really the beginning of something? Sometimes it's pretty blurry when something ends and when something starts. For instance, the end of childhood begins what? Adulthood. And sometimes you're not quite sure when that starts, either if you're that person in that situation or if you happen to be a parent who is wondering, is my child a kid or an adult? When is the ending a beginning? Or when you're single and you enter a relationship, it's the end of being single and the beginning of a relationship. Or when the baseball season ends, it is the beginning of football season. And I think the end has come to this football season. I apologize for all my Green Bay Packer things I put you through for 10 years or so. But Wisconsin's in the playoffs, or in the Big Ten playoff. That's a good thing, right? Okay. And thank you, Iowa, you know, for knocking off. Anyhow, well, that's probably a bad thing to say here, huh? At any rate, I think you get the idea. But the end of time is the beginning of eternity, and that is a more finite thing, isn't it? The end of time is either when the Lord calls you home from this veil of tears, or when Jesus comes again. And so we're going to consider today both the celebration of Christmas that we begin to prepare for, which we heard in the beautiful words of an Advent song, and Jesus, Son of God, what a beautiful song that is to really get us into the Christmas season, that he has come down for us. But we're also going to do something else that we don't talk about enough, I think, sometimes in the church, and that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to encourage you today, as you consider the second coming of Christ and also the celebration of his first coming, to prepare intentionally for that coming. To prepare intentionally, for we are called to be intentional in our preparation. Jesus speaks to his disciples in the gospel lesson chosen for today in Mark, and he says, be prepared, be on watch, look out. And the two Greek words are, one, be on guard, and secondly, chase away sleep. In other words, be always vigilant, always be prepared. And so we're going to be thinking about being prepared. Now, we in the church of today, and I'm guilty of this, rarely think of Jesus' second coming. About the only time I've really heard people really wanting Jesus to come again was over the last 6 or 7 months of this political season. Come, Lord Jesus. You can't come fast enough. Please come down. And we generally make light of that, but do we really think of it very often? I know I don't, but should we? I think we should. I think we should intentionally prepare for the coming of Jesus. You see, the early church had no problem with that. The early church believed that Jesus ascended and that very shortly Jesus would be coming back again. And so they were in constant state of readiness, being prepared. And it probably didn't hurt that their faith was constantly being challenged, but I don't think that's anything new unique to them. We also have our faith constantly challenged. And so how do you prepare? Well, we're called in 1 Peter to do this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, and listen to these words, always be prepared. to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And so again, we're called in 1 Peter to be prepared. How? Always be prepared. And I have to admit, I'm not always prepared. Are you always prepared to give an answer? I hope you are. And as we live out our lives, are we prepared to tell our story that intersects with his story? Be prepared and do it with gentleness and with respect. Now, it's hard to do that because there are dangers that are lurking from the outside all around us. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we read these words, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Now, I want you to picture this in your mind, a cat and a mouse. The devil's the cat, and who is the mouse? We are. You ever watched a cat track a mouse or an animal? It's stealthy, isn't it? Sneaks up on it. And then when the mouse least expects it, what happens? Dinner. The devil, that image is so powerful though, isn't it? The devil is doing the same thing for you and me. And as we try to prepare intentionally, the devil is out there lurking, waiting to take away our joy, waiting to help us unprepare for what is to come. And we are called by Jesus, be on guard and be alert. 75 years ago, there was an event in our country for which we were unprepared. It was called Pearl Harbor. 15 years ago, there was another event for which we were not prepared. We call it 9/11. And I think we have learned, at least in these 15 years, to be constantly ready and prepared, because there are people out there lurking like the devil and used by the devil to terrorize us and to pounce on us. And so we have a Department of Homeland Security now, something I never could have imagined as a child. That sounded like something out of science fiction to me, you know, Department of Homeland Security. But we have that now, and we get different alerts, and we're constantly being told to be vigilant, and we hear these updates in the news and all of that kind of stuff. And so we are prepared, and maybe we should take a cue from those who protect us, from our firefighters and police who... you wouldn't want them sitting around drinking coffee all day and just playing cards and doing stuff. What do they need to be doing? They constantly train. They prepare their equipment. They get things ready so that when the time comes, they're ready to do the job they need to do. Or our military that constantly is in training. Be prepared, be on guard, watch, and be alert. For Christians, there are dangers that take away and help and prevent us from preparing. For instance, there are dangers on the inside, right inside the church. St. Paul writes to the Corinthian congregation these words, and he's looking at them and saying, because there were some problems in that church, "I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." Now, when people from the outside look at what's going on inside a Christian congregation, is that going to help anything? You know the answer, right? No, of course not. And that does not help us prepare when we have that kind of turmoil in a Christian congregation. And so there are dangers that we experience on the inside of our faith, as well as dangers from the outside. So how do we go about intentionally preparing when we got all of this stuff that's coming at us in life from both the outside and the inside? How do we do that? Well, God gives us the tools to do that. The first way to prepare, be it for Christmas or for the coming of Christ at the end of time, is to keep your faith strong. And you know the beautiful thing about this is that you don't even have to do it. God does it for you. God does it for you. And how do you keep your faith strong? By hearing the word of God on a regular basis. You know, I call intentionally preparing a holy habit. What do I mean by that? You know, I've been retired now for 2 months. And I have to tell you, I have been tempted to stay in bed, even though we have an 11:30 service. You know, it's so easy to do that, isn't it? So easy to say, just this week, you know, whatever. But there's nothing wrong with habits. Habits are not bad things all the time. And I can tell you, every time I get myself out of bed and I get to church, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm doing liturgy, or whether I'm sitting in the pew, which has been a new experience for me, but one I'm loving, by the way, being able just to soak up the Word of God as Pastor Ron preaches, and as we hear the Word of God, I'm able to sit with my wife in church, which is a unique thing, something I couldn't do for 40-some years, and just soak up the Word of God. Once you get there, it's just so edifying, so refreshing. And God gives us that, free and clear. Doesn't charge us a thing for it. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, and I love this passage, especially when we talk about this week. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. See, they don't have that holy habit. But encouraging one another. See, that's part of preparation too, isn't it? That you have brothers and sisters around you when you're going through those hard times in life. And you will go through those hard times in life. There'll be family difficulties, there'll be financial difficulties, there'll be relationship difficulties. We live in a broken world, and we're a part of that brokenness. And there are going to be those things. And we need one another during those times, during those difficult times that we walk through life. And here is where the early church really needed to be reminded also, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day are they talking about? What are they talking about? Come on. Second coming. You can talk. The second coming of Jesus. And so that's part of our preparation. God gives us some other gifts to use too. He gives us his holy supper, the Lord's Supper. What a gift that is to us. I'm going to tell you a story about, very personal to me, because every time I think of the Lord's Supper, I think of this. And it's amazing how when you go through life, when things happen to you, you suddenly realize the stuff you've been preaching is really for you too, you know, not just for everybody else. And I was going through chemotherapy, and I had lost about 80 pounds. Yes, I know, don't laugh. And I didn't want to eat. In fact, I had told myself I couldn't eat. And so in hospital, I was in hospital for about a month when I was first diagnosed. I had nutritionists, doctors, nurses, psychologists, you name it, cleaning people, everybody coming into my room. And they said, you know, you have to eat. I said, but I don't want to eat. And they said, you have to eat. And I said, why? And they said, because you're not going to get stronger, and you're not going to let the medicine do its work, and you're not going to get better unless you eat. And so it was hard, but I did. I started eating. And I haven't stopped, but I started eating. And you know what happened? I got better. I got stronger. And that meal, the Lord's Supper, is so important for us, because in the midst of all of the things that try to take away our intentional preparation, we have something that strengthens us. And to take yourself away from that table is not a good thing, because God has given that to us. And our baptisms, that we wake up every day and say, look, I'm a child of God, and I believe in Jesus, who came in a manger, who suffered and died and rose for me. And I believe in Jesus who ascended and who is coming again. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to use your gifts. Use your gifts. You do recognize that the church is not a voluntary organization. Did you know that? We ask for volunteers all the time. But I'm here to tell you that God never asked for volunteers. God gave you a gift, and you didn't even ask for it. And you know what else God says? Use that gift. Use that gift. I'm here to say it's not your choice. God's given you a gift to use. And as we intentionally prepare ourselves, we also need to be intentional about the people out there for whom Jesus came and maybe don't know that he came for them and don't know for sure that he's coming again. And so when the people of God don't use the gifts that God gives them, if God has gifted you, let's say, with the ability to proclaim his word, and you don't do that, there's somebody out there who won't know that Jesus is coming for them. And they're going to spend an eternity in another place that you and I won't be. Or if you have the gift of giving, and today we have the opportunity to share our commitments for the coming year, but those with a special over and above gift of giving decide, well, no, I don't want to do that, then the ministry of the church suffers. If you have the gift of hospitality, a gift of compassion, and you aren't there when your neighbor or somebody needs you to hug them or to sit with them or just be silent with them or whatever that looks like at that particular time, they never experience the compassion of Jesus in you, and they don't know that he is coming, and he is coming again. And so use your gifts. And I would encourage you to use them as you prepare for Christmas too. You have the opportunity to come and hear the word of God every Sunday, but also on Wednesday. That's something the churches are losing around our country today, the Advent services. But they are a time of special preparation where we can zero in on that coming of Christ and his birth to save us. And certainly we have the Lord's Supper here, and you have an opportunity as you prepare to bless those who are outside your household, not just thinking about the tree and the baking and all that stuff, which is all good, all part of our celebration. That's a good thing. But remember in your greetings to people that it is Jesus coming who we celebrate, not Black Friday. And that's something I think that we get trapped into the culture of our world, seeing the spirit of the season for the world around us is different than the spirit of the season for Christians, isn't it? We celebrate Jesus. And I would encourage you in whatever way you can to communicate that to friends and family, coworkers, whoever that might be. But he is coming. He is coming again. He is coming, and we're going to celebrate that first coming because he came. And now he's coming again. So watch and be prepared. Amen? And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.